from 1 to 10, from 11 to 18, from 19 to 28. And what makes each of these stanzas, the commonality between it, all of them, is that we have a prayer followed by gratitude. A prayer, gratitude. A prayer, gratitude. Now, it's written Le David, so you're assuming that this is coming out of his life, and he had plenty of others. But Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, as many others do, points out that this mizmor is being written in a universalized way and would be very, very appropriate for understanding the unexplainable persecution of the Jews in Golis throughout the ages. In light of what we are reading in the newspapers, and I don't know if you saw the Wall Street Journal today, the increase of anti-Semitism across the world, yeah, including in the United, yeah, States, in Europe in the most incredible way, with the latest report indicating that anywhere from 50-some percent to 70-some percent believe that Jews have too much power, too much money, too much control.
Nothing changes.
And whether you mask it as anti-Zionism or whatever, that Rabbi Mervis needed, yeah, to come out with, yeah, a unprecedented condemnation of the Labor Party. You know, well, it's about time, frankly. It's about time that we call a spade and not remain with niceties on the side. But we have the same thing going on with the American Democratic Party, with all due respect. I would like to point out that Mizmor Lamed Hey mentions enemies that are so strong that they're sometimes compared to kfirim, which are young lions. Now, you know that young male lions will fight one another for supremacy over the pride, right, who gets to be the leader. So this, you're getting that sense about this inner rivalry. But at the same time, this mizmor also makes mention of people who are his friends, those that are supporting him, those that stay with him who want to see him vindicated. So there is actually not this only sense of that I'm all by myself, but by I'm being persecuted and being persecuted by people who owe me something. I never did them any bad. They are ingrates. Either I don't know them, I never had anything to do with them, or if I did have anything to do with them, I did them only good, and here's what they've done to me. So we'll see this. The other very important thing that we have here is that he will mention, when I told you that after each stanza you have this declaration of gratitude and thankfulness. I will thank you, I will do such and such, I will sing to you. And in the process he mentions that he will do so with all of his limbs and organs. The Gemara actually goes on and cites, there's actually a whole medrash that cites this mizmor and takes all of the, my eyes, my mouth, my ears, my hands, what I will do to thank God with all of my organs. But you all know this, and you'll hear a certain section of this in Nishmas every Shabbos when we say it. So when we say that, we say, Al kein evarim shepilakta banu, therefore all of the limbs that you had placed on us, v'ruach unshama shenafachta be'apeinu, and the spirit, my soul, that you breathed into me, v'lashon asher samta bifinu, and the tongue that you put in my mouth, hein, hein, yoidu v'yivorchu v'yishabchu v'yifaru v'yiramemu v'yakdishu v'yamlichu, remember all of those lines, ki chol peh lecha yodeh, for every mouth will both acknowledge you and thank you, v'chol lashon lecha tishava, every tongue will swear to you, kemo, as is written, kedavar shekatuv, kol atzmotai tomarna, all my bones will say, Mi kamocha Hashem, who is like you, Hashem? Directly quoting from Mizmor Lamed Hey. So we're going to go inside and look at it. Okay. Riva Hashem Yerivai, Lecham et Lochamai, Please fight with those that fight with me. Go to battle with those that go to war against me. Hachazek magen vitzinai. Hold on to, almost as if steel, my magen and sina. A magen is a shield that you use against the arrows, and a sina is the armor that one wears against the sword. Tekuma be'ezrati, and stand up, rise up to help me. Now, when he says, hold on, God doesn't need to hold on to this. Nothing can attack him. But it's almost as if I have a hard time holding on to the shield, so hold on to the shield for me. Help me protect myself. But then go a step further. Not just passively defending me, but actually get up to, rise up to help me. And as a result, the harek chanit usgo, and take out the chanit and the sgo. A chanit is the spear. Take out sagul, closed, taking the sword out of its sheath. Don't keep it there, okay? And instead, likrat rotfai, towards, proactively, against those that persecute me. Emor lenafshi, and tell my soul, assure me, Yeshuatchani, I am your salvation. I am here to help you. So that, yevoshu v'yikalmu mevakshei nafshi, so that they can be put to shame, humiliate those that seek my soul, seek to kill me. Yisogu achor, let them retreat. Vayachperu. Yachperu is cherpa, is shame and humiliation. Yachperu, lachpor is to dig. When you say, oh, I was so ashamed, I could have dug a hole and buried myself. Choshvei ra'ati, those that are plotting, thinking how to do something bad to me, or think bad of me. Yiyu kemotz lifnei ruach. May they be like chaff in front of the wind on a windy day like today. Umalach Hashem doche. And may the angel of God press them even further, because when the chaff blows, it will often get attached to your fence, to the bricks of your house. So I need somebody then to take off whatever is left over of them. Yehi darkam choshech v'chalaklakot. May the path, their path of war with me, be dark, no light on it, and slippery. And if you're walking on an icy sidewalk and it's late at night and you can't see where the black ice is, they can't avoid but slip up. In other words, let them fall on their own swords. Umalach Hashem rotfan, and may the angel of God chase them, persecute them, so that they run. They have no choice. They see that they're being run, so they must run. But they're running on a slippery, slidey road, too dark to see a way of avoiding the ice, avoiding any pitfalls. All that, why? Ki trinam tamnuli shachat rishtam. Because for no reason, I don't have it coming, they hid a reshet. A reshet is a net. Shachat is something that is both a pit as well as rot. When you want to trap an animal, you dig a hole, you camouflage it. Underneath it, you put a big net, so that when he falls into it, you've trapped him. So he's using this description that they have plotted against me, trying to get me to fall into something so they can catch me in doing something bad. Chinam chafru lenafshi, they dug, conspired underground for my soul, but they did it chinam. Chinam, now the first time it meant for naught. I didn't deserve it. And the second time is for naught. In other words, all of their plotting and plans is going to go downhill. They will not succeed. And as a result, since they've worked so hard to plot my downfall, when they least expect it, out will come a Shoah against them. I know the word Shoah means Holocaust today, but actually the Shovish of the word means wonder, mishta'eh, something that is so unnatural, so unexpected, that you don't know where it came from. In other words, they're plotting to get me, when meanwhile their entire plot is boomeranging against them. Lo yeda, and he won't know it hit him. So busy were they trying to entrap me, that in fact what they did was they fell into the same pit. V'rishto asher taman, and that trap which they hid, tilkedo, will actually catch him. B'shoah yipolba, astonished, completely in shock, he will fall into his own trap. The nafshi tagil b'Hashem, and my soul will rejoice in God. Tasis b'Yeshuato, right? Joyous in his salvation. Kol atzmotai tomarna, all my bones will say, ah, Hashem, mi kamocha, who is like you? Matzil ani mechazak mimeno, saves the oppressed, the poor one, from somebody who's stronger than him. Ve'ani ve'evyon migozlo. The first time the word ani means somebody oppressed. The second time it means somebody who's poor, has had everything taken away from him, from the one who would steal from him. He's got nothing left to lose, and they're taking away the last thing that he possibly has, which is his life. Why? What did they do? How are they trying to entrap him? Comes the second stanza to explain it. Yekumun edei chamas. They raise up witnesses. Mm-hmm. And the word chamas means who would steal, who would violently take away my rights. False witnesses. Asher lo yadati yishaluni. Those that I don't even know. It's like, where did they come from? Questions that I don't even know what are they asking me? The kintis, you know, what are you talking about? That's what they ask of me. They're asking me questions. It's like, how do you prove a negative? So why did you rape that woman? What woman? What are you talking about? Well, they said that you did, or they heard that you did. Right? Hearsay. Edei chamas. And what do those edim? Who are those edim? Who are those witnesses? Yeshalmuni ra'a tachat tova. They are people who pay me evil for the good I did them. Shchol lenafshi. And what is the purpose? What do they try to do? The word shakul is very important here. Horim shkulim are parents who have lost a child. Shchol means somebody who's suffering a loss to death. Shchol lenafshi in this case means bereavement, death to my soul. Not just killing me, but taking away, killing anything that ever mattered to me. And therefore they want to take this away, says Malbim, from my soul, its true inheritance. The only thing that it could possibly have had, and that is its honorable intentions. Ve'ani b'chalotam levushei sak. And as for me, when they were sick, levushei sak, wearing sackcloth, or when they were in mourning, Ineti bitzon nafshi. In empathy, I afflicted my soul with fasting, feeling bad for them. I participated in their sorrow. Utfilati, and I extended my prayers on their behalf. Al cheki tashuv, may my good intentions, when what I did for them, come back to me. Not only did I not do them bad, I would like to get back what I gave them. Almost cursing yourself. What my real intentions for them, what my real thoughts and prayers for them, I wish it on myself. And what he's doing is he's cursing himself, saying, if I had ever harmed them, if I had ever done anything bad to them, may it come back to me, knowing full well that all I did was give them, promote them, help them, and now this is what they're doing to me. Kereya, ke'achli italachti. I moved about this world. I treated them as a friend, as a brother to me. Ke'avel em, as one who mourns a mother. Koder shachoti, when they were in trouble, when they were sorrowful, I walked around as somebody who has lost his mother, walking bent over. And he said, and it was sincere. So why would you treat it ke'avel em, as one who mourns a mother and not a son and not a father? So I thought I would share with you what the Radak says about this. He says, kemo shemitabel haben al imo shemeta, as a son would mourn for the mother that died. Ve'amar em velo av, and he said, mother, not father. Ki yoter ko'ev adam al imo. Because typically, he says, a person hurts more for his mother than his
father.
Shenotzar mimena bibitna. Because he was formed from her in her belly. Vehinikato, and she nursed him. Vegemelato, she helped raise him. Vetipachto, she nurtured him. Ad shegadal, until he grew up. Ve'asachar shegadal. By the way, when they share this, it tells you something about their lives. And even after he was grown up, ha'em mimitsuya babayit, mom is home. Umichina la ben soho, and she likes to prepare for her grown-up son. Food, bit machal ubemishte, his favorite foods, his favorite drinks. You always go to your mom. Ken shachoti v'italachti kadam. That's how I was bent over, walking gloomy at the loss. He says, so I participated in their sorrow. I shared their pain. When they were in trouble, I was so sad for it. And then he quotes his father. Ve'adoni avi zichrono livracha. Radak is Rabbi David Kimchi, and his father was Rabbi Yosef Kimchi. He said that the reason is it's like a baby whose mother has died and he yearns for the breast. But it tells you the sensitivity and the relationship of sons to their mothers. He says, that's the way I walked. Ubitz Ali, and when I limped, Samchu, they were happy. Now, he didn't fall yet, he's just limping. V'nesafu, and they gather together. Nesafu alai nechim, they gathered against me, these nechim, and I will deal with the word nechim in a moment. V'lo yadati, and I did not know. Ka'u, they tore. V'lo damu. And now we have a big problem about what this means. Nechim in modern Hebrew means cripples. So they would like to divide it accordingly. while these enemies rejoiced because I was limping, I found myself surrounded by other cripples. These other cripples are other limpers, other people who have been attacked. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Other people who have been hurt this way. So he found himself with friends, and these friends are like him, similarly been persecuted.
Misery loves company.
Yeah. That's exactly where it comes. Veloyadati, and I didn't know that the reason that we're all clinging together is because they all see me as a compatriot. Misery loves company. Quite right. Karau. So now the question is, who tore what? Velodamu, and did not do what? Is it the word from the word dumia? We're not silent. Or Rashi, and did not bleed. Tear, but did not bleed. Well, what can you tear that would not bleed? So Rashi says, the enemies, he doesn't treat the word nechim as cripples. He treats it as the word nechaim. Nechaim are lowlifes. And this is the way Rashi would read it. Rashi would read it, when I limped, they rejoiced. They gathered. All those lowlifes gathered together, and I didn't know that they were conspiring against me. And what did they do? They tore me and didn't make me bleed. And why not bleed? The tearing is the tearing of the face. But when you've become so pale, so white-faced, it's as if I can no longer bleed, you've already bled me dry. That is the way he would treat this, okay? I told you this is a difficult, difficult verse. But the others tell us they tore. And what did they tear? And comes Ibn Ezra. They tore their mouths open in this wild laughter. And lodamu dumia, and were not silent. So you're hearing this like wild cackle, laughter. Other second position is, they tore my flesh, or they tore my heart. It doesn't say what. The third position is, they tore what can't be repaired or sewn together or patched. In other words, the bond of friendship. Why do we do kriya at burial? Right? And we do it over the heart. The concept is that when you're burying somebody that you love, it's being torn away from you. And what you do to your clothes is symbolic of what is happening inside. It's as if a part of you has been ripped out and can't be sewn back together again. And what it really is, and to some degree, is a psychodrama. You're acting it out. It's part of the rituals of mourning when we do this. You do know that at certain times we do this on the right side, and sometimes we do it on the left side. For a mother and the father, you do it over the heart, right? And you remember that when whoever it is, if it's the rabbi or somebody else, does a snip, and then you're the one that does the actual tearing. And there is very much a case here of separation. What they call closure is for us not closure, but as much as a tear. And a tear that can't be repaired. Can't be repaired. If I read it with that type of imagery, particularly since right beforehand he mentioned ke'avel em, as one who mourns his mother, I believe that in the context is really about the rituals of death and mourning. And as a result, you're seeing somebody who's just lost. And lost what? These were people that he thought were his friends. They were like his brothers. And they've conspired against him and brought false witness against him and are besmirching him. The pain here is not merely because it's an outside enemy. So I always knew that they hated me. That's not the issue. This is betrayal.
and a tearing at you that cannot be repaired. So he finds himself now limping, bent over, because that can't be undone. That betrayal, that sense that you've lost all of these people that you cared about and that you thought cared about you. And as a result, what they did was they tore, but didn't make me bleed, because the tearing was not tearing of my actual flesh. What they tore is my faith in human beings. They tore my trust. They tore my heart. And I don't mean what your cardiologist hurts that way, as if somebody actually tore the inside. So the bleeding is frankly beside the point. That's the external expression. The worst of it is when there's no bleeding. It's almost as if it's a, what happens if you don't bleed outside? You have this big bruise. The pain is contained inside. And so the imagery here is this incredible sense of hurt and betrayal by people who he thought were his friends and people with whom he commiserated, people with whom he had shared their agony, had done so much for. Bechonfei le'agei ma'og charok alai shinemo. And now he finds that they were nothing but hanufim. Hanufim are flatterers, psychophants, who were doing what? Lo'agei ma'og. They are now mocking me. And the word ma'og is a hard one. Uga, uga, uga is the source of it. An uga is a round cake, a cookie. The reason is because he sees them actually in a circle around, laughing, mocking, eating cookies, if you like, as they grind their teeth. Charokalai shinemo. In other words, now that they've been unmasked, he recognizes that these people that he thought were like his brothers, his friends, were nothing more than hanupim. They pretended to be my friends. They needed me for something. They got what they needed, and now they're ready to stab me in the back. Adoshem, kama tireh? How much more must you see? Not lama, kama. How much must you see? Hashiva nafshi mishoehem. Lehashiv, take back my soul. Or shuva vanachat, give it, restore it. Bring it back from those who would destroy it. Mikfirim yechidati, from these lions, my one and only. Your nefesh is your life. Your yechida is your soul. So there is the life force in the physical sense. And there is your honor, the only thing that mattered, your soul. Save it from them. And I will, otcha b'kahal rav, I'll thank you in a multitude of people, be'am atzum, with a strong nation, I will praise you. Just get me out of here. But lest you think that he feels completely, completely alone, having been betrayed by people he thought were his friends, whom he treated as his brothers, you will soon see that he finds that there's people that he does believe in. And that's why he says, I will do this in a great assembly, in a great nation. Al yismichu li oyvai shekel. Don't let them rejoice over me. Falsehood, they are my enemies. But they're my enemies because of a lie. Sonai chinam yikretzu ayin. Don't let them, with a wink of an eye, show their hatred for me
for nothing. I've done nothing to deserve this. The difference between an oyev and a soné is an oyev hides it inside. A soné actually expresses it. Ki lo shalom yedaberu, for they don't speak peace. You know that famous line, right? Shalom, yeah. Shalom, ve'en, yeah. Shalom. Ve'al rigei eretz. And for those that are ragua, calm. The calm of the earth. The complacent ones. The ones that don't seem to guess what's coming at them. Divrei mirmot yachshavun. They think false, crooked, trickery. Vayanchivu alai pihem, and they broaden their mouths at me. The broadening of the mouth is, of course, a smile, but it's also opening. Amru, and they said, ah, ah, and that's biblical Hebrew for hurrah, hurrah. Ratai neinu, harai saw. We caught him, we got him. That's what they'll say, because remember what he says, that they are false witnesses. Raita Hashem, you saw God. You really saw. Al techerash, don't be silent, as they testify against me. Adoshem, al tirchak mimeni, don't distance yourself from me now that I need you. I need somebody to vindicate me. Ha'ira! Vehakitza lemishpati. Wake up! Get up! Rise up to my judgment. Elokai ve'adoni lerivi. My God, my master, to my battle. I need your help on this fight. Shofteni, I want you to judge me. Kitzitkecha, according to your system of justice, Hashem Elokai. Ve'al yismechu li, and don't let them rejoice over my downfall. Al yomru benafsam, belibam, forgive me, don't let them say in their hearts, ha'ach, nafshenu, hurrah, our souls, thinking that they have won. Al yomru, don't let them say, bela'unu, we swallow him up. We got him. Instead, yevoshu ve'yachperu yachdav, let them be put to shame, humiliate all of them. Smechei rati, those that are so happy with my downfall, with my troubles. Yilbishu boshet uchlima, let them be dressed in shame. Hamagdilim alai, who act so superior to me. Yaronu v'yismechu cheftei tzidki, so that then those that want my vindication, proving that I am innocent, will have a chance to rejoice, to celebrate. The yomru, and those people will say, tamid yigdal Hashem, God will always rise up above. Hachafetz shalom avdo, for he wants peace for his servant. Ulshoni, and my tongue, tehege tzidkecha. My tongue will always express your justice. Kol hayom tehilatecha. All the day long, your praises. So he's surrounded by enemies. He is persecuted. He is maligned. He's libeled. But there are people, granted not very always completely powerful, who want him to be vindicated. There are people who actually want to be on his
side.
Yeah. And would like to see justice done, and would like to see the truth come out.